17. This is what I call a little sermonette. I want to help you how to prevent cirrhosis of the giver. Not of the liver, but of the giver. Amen? And 1 Kings chapter 17, we're going to look at verses 12 through 14. And this is the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. And verse 12, and she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die. That's a very promising meal. You know, you talk about the Last Supper. This is really their Last Supper. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as you have said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for you and for your son. But she only had enough for two. Now she's feeding three. And he said, if you do this first, you and your son are going to eat also. Notice what he says in verse 14. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. So how do you prevent cirrhosis of the giver? Well, first of all, you've got to be a willing person. You've got to be willing to share what God's given you with his kingdom. Then you've got to trust him. Amen? It takes trust to not have cirrhosis of the giver. Then you got to have faith. All she had was the word of a man of God. But that word was enough for her to act on. And she did that. Then you got to be obedient. Amen? He gave her an instruction, right? Do this first. All right? If you don't follow the... You know, if you put an ingredient that the cake doesn't call for, that cake may not come out quite right. You got to have all... You got to follow the instructions. And then you got to have courage. Amen? Because he said, fear not. See, courage means even though there might be fear there, you can act in spite of the fear. And guess what? A miracle happened in this woman's life because she was a giver. So, Father, I just give you thanks and praise for all the tithes and the offerings, Lord, that your people bring unto you. Father, we call them holy. We call them blessed, Father. They're for your purpose and for your kingdom. And we just thank you, Lord, that every gift and every giver will have the windows of heaven open to them, and blessings will be poured out on them so great that their rooms can't contain it, and the devourer will be rebuked in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of 1 John. And for the month of June, we are going to be going over fellowship, knowing, and love. And we're basically going to study the book of 1 John. I was reading this while we were on vacation, and the Lord was speaking to me some things about this. So this is where we're going to begin. And just look at someone and say, I'm glad you're here today. And tell them, say, God's got something for you today. Do you realize that every time we come together, it's for a divine purpose? There's something that God wants to impart. He wants to give. He wants to share. He wants to reveal. And there's an anointing. There's a corporate anointing when people of God come together. And we don't just do it out of duty, but we do it because God commands us. Amen? Did you know that Jesus had a custom of going to church? You'll read in places, as was his custom. Or we see it through the leaders too. They regularly got together and worshiped. But today I want to talk to you about the power and the importance of fellowship. Because in the first chapter of 1 John, he emphasizes fellowship. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today, about what that means and what that means for us. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. You know, the word of God will affect every area. It'll affect what you hear, what you see, what you look upon, and what you experience or what you feel. You know, you're going to feel something when the word of God comes into your life. You know, the Bible says the entrance of his word gives light. Amen. It brings illumination. He said the word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. So when the word of God comes into your life with the power of the Holy Spirit, it's going to affect you some way. Amen. And it affects us all differently. We're not all going to react or respond the same way. All right? And that's okay. Everybody say that's okay. But John is writing here about something that impacted his life and all these areas. And he says, for the life was manifested. That means it appeared, it was made known, it was brought to them, okay? The life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. That word manifested also means known. You know, when you know something, and then it says, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So here, he tells us right away that the message that they received, they wanted to share it. They wanted to declare it. They wanted to proclaim it. Why? So that everybody could participate. So that everybody could join in. Did you know that the gospel is the greatest news you'll ever hear? It is good news. It is the best news. Amen. It's better than Fox, better than CNN. It can't even compare. The gospel. We need a gospel news network. A good news network. GNN. Amen. And it's up to you and I. Each one of us. And there's kind of like a hum going on. I don't know if you can find out what that is. I'm not sure. But so he wanted to declare this to the people so that they could have fellowship, the same fellowship. I want to share with you what God has done for me so that you can have things done to you that have been done to me. Because God is no respecter of persons. I mean, the things that God has done for you is meant to be declared and meant to be shared. Please don't keep it to yourself. Us four and no more. I'm just happy with us four and no more. No. The good news, if it affected you, it's going to affect others too. So share it. You've got to get the good news out. All right? And so he said that our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. What does it mean to fellowship? What does it mean? It means communion. It means union. It means a sharing. It means a partnership. It means intimacy. It means it's not all about you. Amen? But he said, our fellowship is with God. You know, every believer has to have a relationship with the Lord. When you get born again, you make Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, and he comes in and his Holy Spirit comes in to live in you, you now have a relationship with the Lord. Every believer has to keep his relationship or her relationship with the Lord vital. Amen? How many of you have a relationship with someone and you never talk to? You never see? You never come in contact with? What kind of relationship is that? God wants to have a relationship with every individual. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to get into every area of your life. Just like he gave us his all, he wants us to give him our all. And he said, our fellowship is with the Father. Go with me to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Fellowship is so important. It's an intimate association. And I want you to look at verse 20 of John chapter 14. He says, at that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Can you see the intertwining of our life with his life? Our nature and his nature. They become one. You're going to see that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And he goes on to say, he that has my commandments, and, everybody say and keeps them. You know, it's one thing to have the commandments, but then there's another level of keeping those commandments that you have. You've got to have them, and you've got to keep them. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him, or to disclose, or to make known, or to reveal. See, a proof that we love God, that a believer loves God, is that he's in us and we're in him because his commandments are in us and we keep those commandments. We do what he says to do. Amen? Say, I'm a doer. Only the doers of the word have the Lord manifested himself to them. Didn't say that God's going to manifest you just because you have the commandments. You've got to do them. You've got to practice them. And that's proof that you love him. But you see that there's a, you know, John 15, 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. What does it mean to abide in him? It means to do. You know, you got to let the word in you. How do you get the word in you? Read, study, pray. Do you realize that the primary way that God reveals himself is through the Bible? Did you know that the Bible is the number one tool that every believer needs to have? How many would show up to work without an ID badge? Or what if a Major League Baseball player would try to play without a baseball or a bat? Why? Because a baseball and a bat to a baseball player is an essential tool. You can't play the game without the tool. But yet so many people try to play the game without, and this is not a game, this is life. They try to play it without the tool. You've got to have his commandments, and you've got to keep his commandments, and the only way to keep them is to get it on the inside of you. And the only way to get it on the inside of you is to read and to study and to pray and to talk with God and to have fellowship, intimacy, closeness. I want to challenge you today to come closer to God. There is no life apart from God, because God is life. And he's the only one that can give us abundant life. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and might have it more abundantly. The might is up to you. If you want abundant life, then you can have it, but you got to choose. You got to do the things that he says to do in order to have and experience the abundant life. Go to John 17. Look at verse 21. Jesus is praying for us. And his prayer is that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are in one. We are one. Jesus' prayer for his body was that they be one in the Lord, that they have fellowship, that they have communion, that they have intimacy and closeness. Every believer needs to draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. You got to do the drawing. Why? Because Jesus already made the first move. Before you were ever born, Jesus came to this earth. He gave his life as a sacrifice. He shed his blood on the cross. He took your sin upon you, and he's forgiven you. He made a way for you to come into the Father's presence, into the very throne room of God, where you can discuss things before the throne of God. See, when you discuss things at the throne, you know that things are going to get done. But now the devil will try to keep you from God's presence. Why? Because he got kicked out of God's presence. And he does things to distract and to deter you from getting into God's presence. Oh, you don't have to read your Bible today. You'll be all right. Well, then I might as well say you don't have to eat that meal today. You'll be all right. Reading the Bible is more important than food. Why? Why? You know, I was telling Gabriel something the other day. And, because, you know, kids are kids. And I was trying to tell him the importance of reading the Word versus other things that we do in life, because the Word is eternal. When this world goes away, you're not going to have anything left but the Word. Because the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never pass away. But he declared that we have fellowship with the Father. You are united to Christ. You are intertwined. When he becomes Lord, he's Lord. He's in it for the long haul. Christianity is not a short-term thing. It's a lifestyle. It's a walk that you do every day. And sometimes in that walk, you might fall down, but you got to get up. Amen? Don't stay down. Don't let the devil count you out, because he doesn't have that power. You can rise up. It doesn't matter what kind of attack the enemy has unleashed against you. God is greater. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You've got the greatness of God on the inside of you, and it's time for the body of Christ to rise up and to take their place and to take their position in Christ Jesus. We need to get serious about the things of God. We take the Bible too lightly. Sometimes it's just a showcase. You can't take the Word lightly. You got to know it. Because there will be a test. But don't worry, it's an open book test. There has to be a change in the spiritual atmosphere. Because people's behavior say a lot about how they respect the Word. I'm just going to let that sink in for a moment. Let's go on. Let's go back to 1 John. He says some powerful things here. So fellowship is with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There has to be communication, intimacy. Do you realize that, you know, God will keep you on the right path? Sometimes we get into danger because we've missed what God says. Sometimes we miss when he says not to do something. Have you ever heard someone say, you know, I just felt like I shouldn't do there or shouldn't go there or shouldn't get involved with that, but I did anyway? Well, what that thing on the inside of you was trying to tell you, but you weren't listening. And so, the closer we get to God, the easier it becomes to listen and to hear his voice. But we got to draw closer. Fellowship is walking in the light. He says, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I didn't say that. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Did I? That's the Lord. Notice someone is saying, I have a relationship with the Lord. I have a relationship with the Lord, but their doing is darkness. They're not doing what they say. And the Bible says that's a lie. When your actions and your words don't line up, you're lying. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. If I do something that doesn't line up with my words, I'm lying. Because God is light. The Bible talks about he lives in unapproachable light. It's the most brilliant, the most glorious, the most majestic light you could ever see. It's brighter than the noonday sun. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not do the truth. Verse 7, but, everybody say but. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Well, I'll tell you what does it mean to walk in the light? It means to be accountable, to be transparent, and to be have integrity. Did you know that when you get to God, he might shine a light on an area of your life? And see, the reason he shines light in our area because he wants to correct, he wants to fix, he wants to change that area. Now, someone who loves darkness is going to run away from the light because they don't want that to be exposed, because the enemy operates in darkness. He's called the prince of darkness. There is no light in him. He is dark. He is shady. He is gray. But see, the gospel is not like that. God is light. And see, we got to walk in the light. We got to be accountable. We got to be transparent. We got to have integrity. We got to be holy. We got to be pure. That's what it means to have the light. With the light, you're less likely to fall because it's going to show you where to step. See, you could when you're in a dark place, and we're in a dark world, this world is dark. But if people follow the light, they're going to get to safety. But if you don't have the light, you're not going to see this, and you're going to stumble. Walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. It's talking about our fellowship with God. You know, at first I thought, you know, when we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. But that is a product of our fellowship with God. But he's talking about our fellowship with God. See, if you're not fellowshipping with believers, it's because you're not fellowshipping with God. It's because you're in darkness. You're blinded. See, why? Because each one of us have been created in God's image. So when you're fellowshipping with a believer, with a brother and sister, you're fellowshipping with someone who was created in God's image. So you're drawn to each other. Amen? Peter talked about the same spirit of faith, or people of like faith. Amen? When you get together with someone of like faith, they could be from another country, they could be from another place, but when you have that similar faith between each other, there's a connection. Why? Because you're connected with the blood of Jesus. Walking in the light. In him there is no darkness. Fellowship is illuminating. It illuminates. It makes known. The light is good. Say that. Say the light is good. You can stay in the light of God and not get sunburned. Amen? It has good effects on you, not bad effects. You know, Moses spent 40 days in God's presence on Mount Sinai. He was so taken by the light that the light of God began to shine through him. And when he came down the mountain, they said, "Woo, Moses, we can't look at you. Veil your face, man." Why? See, it was the light of God's presence that came on Moses, and Moses took that light then wherever he went. But the people couldn't handle it. Why? Because they were so used to the darkness. When they saw the lightnings and the thunders around Mount Sinai, they said, "Moses, you go up there, brother. We're not going there." And we know that a whole group of Israelites weren't walking in the light by what they did and what they said, because they all died in the wilderness. You got to fellowship with the light. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. There is such fellowship with God is so important. It's the most important thing you could do. If you have a family, you better fellowship with the Lord. You better talk with God about your family, because that will make a difference in their life. Every night when I put Gabriel to bed, I always pray over him. We have a thing. I always have to tell him a story. And thank God that God's given me creative ability to tell. I always come up with different characters and stories. And then when I do that, I always lay my hand on him and I pray for him. I pray over him every night. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. "For you were sometimes in darkness," or formerly you were in darkness, "but now," everybody say, "but now." "But now you are in the light. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Now, anytime the Bible talks about walking, it talks about how you live, your lifestyle, your behavior. You can't walk in darkness and say you're a child of the light. You've got to walk in the light, amen? That means you've got to respond. When the light shines on an area, you've got to correct that area or change that area so that area now can reflect the Lord. Amen? And you know what? We all have areas. When the light hits, how would you like to go to an operating room that the doctor can hardly see because it's dim? Amen? Or when you go to a dentist, what does that dentist do? He takes that big light and shines it inside your mouth because he's got to see. If there's a cavity, he's got to be able to see to fill it, because that cavity will cause pain. Sin is like a cavity. It eats away at your life. It eats away. It destroys your fellowship. It destroys your relationship. So God has to shine the light so that he can do some work on it, so that he can do some surgery. And God will never leave a surgical tool inside you. You don't have to worry about malpractice with God. He's a great physician. But see, the light is important. You got to walk as children of the light. The light represents truth. The light represents holiness. Jesus, the Lord said, "Be holy, for I am holy." That was not a suggestion. You can be holy if you want to. No, he didn't say that. He said, "Be holy." But now he realizes that you can't be holy on your own. So he gives you grace. He gives you strength. Mercies are new every morning. He gives you forgiveness. He gives you the Holy Spirit. And he gives you everything you need to be holy. But you've got to choose to be holy. Because anything unholy is dark. Lying, deceit, deception, it's all done in a shroud of darkness. And the enemy is the father of lies. He is a dark specialist. He knows how to use the darkness. He operates in the shadows, you know. But when the light of the gospel comes in, he can't stand it. When you say the name of Jesus, which is light, it strikes fear in the heart of the devil and it causes him to tremble and to flee. But you got to walk in the light. Walking in the light means walking in the truth. So you got to eliminate lying. Even little white lies. There's no such thing as a white lie. White represents purity. You can't have a white, you can't have a pure lie. There's no such thing. Because for you give one lie, you got to give another lie to cover up the lie that you said. It's a never-ending cycle. The only way to break the cycle of lying is to tell the truth. To be truthful. But the truth hurts, yeah. So does cancer. So does a dislocated shoulder. Do you realize that when we're not right with God, there's a part in our body that's not working right? Go with me to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. This all right for you? Not too heavy, is it? Say, Pastor, you ought to go on vacation more often. We were at a church in Colorado Springs. It was called Church for All Nations. They have four campuses, one in Kansas and I think three in Colorado, two in Colorado Springs and one in another part of Colorado. And what they have a 7, a 9, and 11 o'clock service on Sunday. And what they do is, like the pastor preached a message at another campus at 7, and we saw the video of him preaching where we were, but in each campus they have a pastor that's at each campus. How'd you like to have Victory Christian Fellowship have one church in four different locations? Amen? Could you see that happening? Are you sure? Could you see that happening? Come on, let's dream big, amen? It is possible. With technology today, we can touch the world from right here. Someone from the Philippines got one of our messages online, and they shared it with their church in the Philippines. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. An Old Testament prophet before Jesus came is telling the people of Israel to come and walk in the light. You know what? One time I was at a youth meeting in Copper Hill. Well, it wasn't a youth meeting, but it was a meeting. It was in Copper Hill, Tennessee. That's where Fiona learned what vittles were. Because Copper Hill is in between Tennessee and North Carolina along the, I think it's the Ocoee River. And we were there, and the Spirit of God was moving. And there was this very reserved, conservative person that was part of our group. And you know how these people are. They're very prim and proper. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost moved. And I got up and I said, the Holy Ghost is like a swimming pool on a hot day. Come on in, the water's fine. And the Holy Ghost hit this person that was prim and proper. And within a few minutes, they were outside rolling on the lawn laughing. This prim and proper person who you would never imagine to do that. But they got hit with the Holy Ghost and they were outside the church rolling on the ground laughing and laughing and laughing, and they couldn't stop. See, you know, because in 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, he talks about fellowship is joy. Amen? There is true, genuine joy when you get together and you fellowship with God. Amen? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Whose joy? The joy of the Lord. He gives you his joy. See, now the Lord's joy doesn't come from external things. It doesn't come from circumstances. It comes from within. It's like a fountain that turns into a river. When your fountain turns into a river, you're going to have a fullness of joy. Amen? And so fellowship is joy. Fellowship is with the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Fellowship is walking in the light. And fellowship is joy. Peter said, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Woo, I love joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know what? I think believers need to laugh more. We got too many sourpusses in the body of Christ. Let's get off the lemons and start sucking on the word, and let's turn that frown upside down, and let's release some joy in the house. Amen? You ought to go around and laugh when you don't feel like it. Why should I laugh when I don't feel like it? Because James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials and temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. So let patience have her perfect work. You know how patience works? It works through joy. Some of you, you only got a little bit of joy. You need more. Amen? You need a double portion of joy. Fellowship is joy. They said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. How many were glad this morning that you were coming to the house of the Lord, because there was going to be some fellowship taking place? We're going to worship together. We're going to listen to the word together. We're going to greet one another together. There's fellowship taking place. And where there's fellowship, there's joy. Hallelujah.
Oh, it's time to go to church today. Oh, off to church we go.
You better get it right in the parking lot before you come in. Don't bring that stuff in, because if you come in with that, the anointing will just knock it off you. I'd like to see a time when people walk through that door by the fountain and just get laid out in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, you think that's not how God works, really? You ought to read when Solomon dedicated the temple. There was 120 priests that blew the trumpet and sang. They all sounded like one voice, and the Bible says they couldn't stand to minister. Sometimes God's got to do some spiritual anesthesiology on people. He's got to suspend their senses so that he can get some sense into them. Amen? But fellowship is joy. Hallelujah. Let's go back to 1 John. I'm having a good time. And if you want to have a good time, just come on, join it. Amen? Let yourself go a little bit. First John chapter 1, verse 7. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. To say that we have no sin, now you have to understand that God dealt with sin at the cross. He took away our sin, all right? But to say that we never miss the mark, to say that we're perfect, there's only one who is perfect, and that's Jesus Christ. Until our bodies get an upgrade, amen, we are going to have imperfections in our body, okay? So to say that you never miss the mark, that's what self-righteous people do. That's what religious people do. Well, it's like the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee says, I'm so glad that I am not like this man, a sinner. And the tax collector, he's just weeping unto God. He says, God, I'm a tax collector, forgive me. He just comes. See, the Pharisee was comparing his righteousness with that of the tax collector, but the tax collector was comparing his righteousness with the Lord. Don't you dare compare yourself with other people. They did not die on the cross for you. You line up with the Lord. And the best way to keep in line with God is to fellowship with him, talk with him, commune with him. All right? So he says, John 8:31 says, you shall know that if you continue in my word. Everybody say continue. Ask yourself this question. Don't answer it, but just ask yourself, do I continue in the word? Or is all the word you ever get on a Sunday or on a Wednesday? You ask yourself, do I continue in the word? Is the word evidence to others in my life? I want you to think about that. Because he says, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John 8:31 and 32. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. So if you're continuing in the truth, you're continuing in the Lord. Amen? Because He is the truth, but then also we have the Spirit of truth. Okay? So the Holy Spirit, God, and the Father, they're all about truth. They'll always lead you in the right way. All right? And then fellowship is friendship. How many want to be a friend of God? Did you know that because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, that all the blessings of Abraham are ours? And do you know that God called Abraham a friend of God? And he knew something about Abraham. He knew that he would command his children, so therefore God could reveal things to Abraham that because he was his friend. And each one of us, because of the blood of Jesus, you can be a friend of God. But what you do with that friendship is up to you. Amen? You've got to value your friendship with God. Because friendship is fellowship. Fellowship is friendship. It's two people in the same ship. Amen? Going in the same direction. You know that we all have a direction that we're going. It's called up. Say, I'm going up. Yeah, you're meant to be the head, not the tail. You're meant to be above, not beneath. You got to go up. You're a child of the King. You're going up. Your future is bright. Your retirement plan is out of this world. I belong to the out of the world retirement plan, where moth and rust can't come in and corrupt and destroy. Woo, I'm storing up goods up in heaven. Hallelujah. I've got a plan. That's my destiny. Every one of us are destined to go into heaven. But with how much stuff you get when you go there is up to you right now. Fellowship with, go with me to Acts chapter 2. You know, this was exemplified in the early church, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, where it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship." They continued steadfastly. It wasn't a casual thing to them. It wasn't, I'll make fellowship if I can, if I can, I won't. No, they placed an important priority on fellowship. Notice, right after teaching came fellowship. It was second in line. That tells me that the Lord puts importance on fellowship. And the devil tries to divide you from people. He tries to separate you from people. He tries to get you alone so that he can manipulate and intimidate and cause fear to come upon you. But there's strength in numbers. Can you say amen? There are strength in numbers. We ought to see a rise and an increase of fellowship in this body. We confess how we build strong body of believers. We encourage relationships in a caring and loving atmosphere. There ought to be relationships taking place. Relationships ought to be built and forged. If you want to be a friend, you got to show yourself friendly. Hi, nice to meet you. If someone went up to you and said, nice to meet you, you think they're on something. They're strange. But here's how you do it. Hi, nice to meet you. My name's Doug.
My name's Les.
Nice to meet you, Les. There ought to be more of that taking place. Because that's where the light is. The light is in fellowship. Darkness is alone. But there's fellowship. There's light. So they did this as part of the early church. Let's go back to 1 John. I'm almost done for today. Don't say amen. No, just kidding. Just kidding. 1 John 1, 9 is one of the greatest things of God's grace that he's given us. When fellowship with the Lord is broken, it's non-existent, it can be corrected. It can be adjusted. it can be changed by this one verse. Fellowship is confession. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, well, who do I confess to? Confess to the Lord? Confess to your brother or your sister? If I confess, if we confess our sins, what? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When fellowship with the Lord is broken. How do you know when fellowship with the Lord is broken? When fellowship with people are broken. Fellowship is one of the first things to go when someone goes astray. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Yeah, that's correct. So, upon our confession of our sin, if you want to restore fellowship, you've got to confess. You've got to come clean. You've got to repent. And when you do that, he is faithful and just, not only to forgive you, but to cleanse you. It's like when you confess, it's like it never happened, as far as God is concerned. Does that mean you still have consequences? It doesn't do away with the consequences, but it restores your relationship with God. Amen? And when your relationship is right with God, you can go through any trial, test, or tribulation and come out looking good on the other side. Your life may smell like manure, but God will make it smell like roses. I don't know where that came from. Well, he'll give you beauty for ashes. Beauty is a lot better than ashes. He'll give you the oil of joy for mourning. He'll give you the garment of praise for heaviness. That is such a beautiful verse. Because God knew that we being human, we have the tendency to miss the mark. We have the tendency, any one of us could go astray. There's no such thing as eternal security. How do I know that? Satan got kicked out of heaven. If there was eternal security, then he would have been restored. Saul disobeyed God and the anointing left him. He chose. At any given moment, we could choose to disobey. Any given moment, we could choose to yield to the flesh. You know, the Bible says he who sows to the flesh reaps corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit reaps life and peace. So, but thank God that God put this in there in his plan, that when we miss the mark, when we don't do like we should, when we're not living in the light like we should, we can come and we can confess and he wipes it clean. Hallelujah. He forgives you. He removes the iniquity. He removes the sting and he cleanses you. He wraps you in his arms. He picks you up. He hugs you. He kisses you. He tells you how much he loves you and you're restored into right relationship with him. Because what he values most is relationship. Sacrifice doesn't impress God. Oh, I'm going to sacrifice my time and I'm going to go to church. No, obedience impresses God. Obedience. Obedience to his word. Adherence to his word. Doing what his word said. That's what impresses God. It's going to be hard to obey the word when it's not in you. And it's going to be hard to get in you if you don't have it with you. You got to humble yourself. You got to be willing to make things right when you miss the mark. David missed the mark. Committed adultery, committed murder. But when God sent Nathan the prophet, he took the light and he shined it on David. And David saw himself in the light of God's word. And what did he do? He repented right there. He made his relationship with his God right. Did he have consequences? Yes, because that's what sin will do. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll make you pay more than you wanted to pay. It'll cause you to do things you never thought you would do. But that's the destructive power of sin. But forgiveness overrides. Forgiveness restores. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. He said, come here, daughter. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient. Peter, one of his closest followers, denied the Lord, denied knowing him three times. Once to a little girl. It'd be like Peter going to a kid's life and saying, I don't know the Lord. Who is he? Think about it. And the moment he did it, he wept bitterly because his fellowship with the Lord was broken. And he didn't know how he was going to come back to the Lord. Matter of fact, Peter took his old name, Simon. He went fishing. And it was when the Lord made breakfast on the beach after he was resurrected that Peter jumped into the water. He was dealing with the shame, the guilt, and the condemnation that sin brings. And Jesus made Peter breakfast, a fish. And he asked Peter, do you love me? What does that mean? It means, are my commandments in you? And are you willing to do the commandments? Peter said, yes, I love you, Lord. And it was his declaration. Three times he said yes, because God was cleansing his soul, his spirit, and his body. And it was those three times when Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He was restored. He confessed his sin, and he was the first one to preach on the day of Pentecost. That's restoration. The one who denied the Lord preached and got 3,000 people saved. Hallelujah. So don't dwell on the fact that you've missed the mark. Dwell on the fact that there's grace and strength to overcome and to move on and to go forward in the name of Jesus. The grace is greater where sin abounds. Grace does much more abound. Grace is greater than sin. But you got to get your sin into the light. Get it out of the darkness. Come out of the shadows. Confess it. When you confess it, you take the tool from the enemy's hands. He's rendered useless and ineffective because he can't use that tool against you anymore. Confession does that. Confession destroys the influence of the enemy in your life. When you get it into the light, you're not fooling God. You might fool us, but you're not fooling God. The quicker you get it into the light, the greater the forgiveness. I think God would have had more mercy on Adam if he wouldn't have said, the woman that you gave me. I think God would have had greater mercy. But he didn't take responsibility. I don't know. The woman you gave me. No. How about the man I put in the garden? You didn't take your authority. You could have dealt with that serpent. You could have grabbed him by the neck and wringed his neck. But he didn't. Men, in June, it's Father's Day. God needs some fathers with a heart after God. If you want to leave your children something, leave them a spiritual heritage of faith. Be an example. Let them see you pray. Let them see you read the Bible. Let them see you in God's presence. Let them see you worshiping God without hindrance. That's the kind of men that we need. Men, that's a challenge to you to rise up. Quit messing around with the things of the world. And get into the light. Go with me to Acts 19. I'm sorry this is harsh, but I feel like the Lord's got to get some things out. I'm not against you. I'm for you. Amen? I want your fellowship. I want you to have the richest fellowship with the Lord. Because when you're fellowship, everything else will go as it should. When God's first in your life, everything else will turn out okay. Acts 19. And look at verse 18. Many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, verse 19, which used curious arts or magic, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. You talk about some confession. In Ephesus, Paul went there and preached, and the Bible says that the word of God prevailed. There were people who were practicing magic, occult. They came and confessed and they burned their books. Amen. That's the power of God's grace. The devil lost a major blow that day. Amen. And I want to close with Psalm 32. Psalm 32. God desires to fellowship with you, for there to be a union, an intimacy, a closeness, a partnership. He wants it for every believer. He valued it so much that he sent his only begotten son so that it could happen. That's how much he values fellowship and relationship. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. I want you to know today that your sin is covered by the blood. Amen. You have new mercy today. God's not condemning you, but he gives you an open invitation that if there's anything in your life, he said, come and experience his forgiveness and cleansing. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity. He doesn't count his sin, and in whose spirit there is no guile or deceit. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto you, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. You know, God is so ready to forgive that the moment you confess, forgiveness is right there. It's just like that. God doesn't say, let me think about this for a minute. No, it's instant. It's quicker than getting cash out of the ATM. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto you in a time when you may be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come near unto him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall compass me about with songs of deliverance. And then the Lord says to the person who just confessed, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. Notice, there's the cleansing. He says, You've been on the wrong path, but let me put you on the right path. He says, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with the bit and bridle, lest they come near unto you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass about him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. So we need to get back to the basics of fellowship. And we're going to be going into chapter 2 next week. And then there's 5 chapters in this book that we're going to cover. I believe God wants to bring some things out. Fellowship is important to God. Your fellowship first needs to be with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Your fellowship needs to reflect the light. Your fellowship is joy. Your fellowship is friendship. And your fellowship is confession, so that when there's broken fellowship, you can make it right. Amen? I just want you to know that God loves you so much today. He's got great things in store for you. He's got greater things for us to do as a body. God's got greater things for us to do. Each one of you are called here for a purpose. You didn't just happen to, you know, people say, oh, I was just driving by and I just came in. No. That was by divine design. There's been a drawing on you. Some of you have gotten saved here. Think back of the time, of the moment when you asked the Lord to be Lord of your life. Never forget that moment, because that's the entrance to everything else. So if you're here today and your fellowship has been broken in any way, I just want to give you an opportunity to come and make things right with God and restore that sweet fellowship. Amen? So, Father, we just give you thanks and praise. Lord, we value fellowship. We honor your fellowship, Lord. We understand the price that you had to pay in order for you to have fellowship with us. So, Father, today, we make it a point in our hearts to value our relationship with you and to not let anything come in between us and you in Jesus' name. And, Father, I just ask that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you begin to move in people's hearts, Father, and you just cause them to come unto you and to drink from your river and to drink of your goodness, Father. And, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you confirm this word with signs following in the name of Jesus. God's got love for you. And if there's any area of broken fellowship in your life, now's the time to make it right. I want you to run to the strong tower and find safety. Amen. Just make a minor adjustment in your heart. And if you need prayer, I just want to make ourselves available to pray with you, to let the power of God touch you. Amen. Because God is good and gracious. He's greatly to be praised. So this is your moment right now to come into fellowship with the Lord. Just want to give you an opportunity. Maybe you just need prayer. That's all right. Just come up for prayer. I just want the love of God to touch you. Father, we just worship you. Oh, yes, Lord. We draw ourselves unto you, Lord. Let's just stand up and sing this song. Hallelujah. You're all I want. Yes, he's all that we want.
You're all.
Ready to touch you,
ladies,
to love you, to restore unto you joy. Hallelujah. Just begin to worship him. Worship him.
Never let me go.
So, Father, I pray, Lord, that your hand be upon this people. I ask you to cause your face to shine upon them, bless them, give them peace, and raise them up in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all have a good day. See you on Wednesday for Alpha. God bless you.